I believe that about the Bible. It's that sometimes we have our favorite books. You know, you go to your favorite verses. But God didn't say just those books. God says the Bible, the whole, all of Scripture, everything He says is good to grow us. And so in that process, I know that as I study, that God is still growing me and still teaching me, that I get to grow. We're in Romans chapter 8 this week. And we're going to cover the first 13 verses. Last week, Paul ended up confessing what I call a conundrum. If you look up the definition of conundrum, you know, it's just a baffling, difficult problem. And the problem is the battle between what I want to do and what I do. The battle between what I want to do and what I do. And Paul talks about the spiritual and the unspiritual. Paul talks about God's law and the law of sin and death. Paul talks about God's righteousness and my sinful human nature. Is there a little bit of gap there? There's a battle. As you choose to want to follow Jesus, as you choose to want to do the right thing, as you choose to want to leave that old life we talked about behind, there is a battle. In the end of Romans 7, Paul defines that problem in kind of a summary way. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. That's the problem. There's this battle going on. What I want to do, I don't do. What I do, I don't want to do. Romans 8 is what I might call the answer. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The problem? The battle between what I want to do and what I do. The answer is the law of the Spirit. We've heard of God's law before. We've heard of the law of sin and death. And Paul introduces a new description, the law of the Spirit. What is he talking about? I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you've changed and grown. There will always be a battle, a war raging inside of you between what you should do and what you do. When we walk in obedience and we see God's blessing, our faith grows and we're changed, we're like, yeah, God. And then we fail, and maybe something that keeps having a hold of us, or maybe something shows back up, we're like, oh, I'm such a loser. Satan wants to tell us, you know, you've lost your salvation, man. You're really not a Christian. He wants to tell you that you're condemned. And the Spirit says, no way. Don't listen to that voice. He says, what? You were condemned. You were guilty. How many of you guys have sinned here? A few of us? How many have sinned a lot? All of us are guilty. We are guilty. But the whole idea of faith in Jesus Christ is what He accomplished. We are no longer guilty. But now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I hear a shout? Woo! Yeah! No longer condemnation. But now you have been justified. Justified is what? Being declared innocent. Can you be guilty and innocent at the same time? No. Once you've been declared innocent, you're no longer guilty. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, what? You've been justified, which means you've been declared innocent. Paul's just reminding, and it seems like, okay, Paul, sometimes you got to, we always need to be told things more than once. We need to be told this way, and we need to be told this way, and we need to be told this way. And then somewhere around maybe the seventh time, we start to hear it. We start to understand, say, okay, I am no longer condemned. It's not because of how I live. It's because of what Christ did on the cross. It's because of what He did. Therefore, Romans 5:1-2, what Paul described. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of glory of God. I'm not boasting what I'm accomplished. I'm boasting in what Jesus accomplished for me. I have been justified. I have been declared innocent. Those things that you get brought up, what are the, Satan's called the accuser. You guys ever have those voices in your head when you mess up? Because I say, you know what, Satan, you're right. I messed up. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross for me. I've been justified because of my faith in Him, not because of my perfect execution of it. I am no longer condemned. I have been declared innocent. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who have put their faith in Jesus as payment for their sin, for those who have put their faith in Jesus to be their righteousness. That's why we put our faith in Jesus. That's why it's so important. It's a mistake, because a lot of people don't like coming to church because people think that they've arrived, right? We call it hypocrisy, or you know, people who think they're better than you, because they're like, man, I'm righteous. You're not. Well, why are you righteous? It's not because of how you're living. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's what makes you righteous. That, you've heard that thing, it's the ground is all level at the foot of the cross. Nobody needs Jesus more than anybody else. I'm a pastor. I need Jesus just as much as the most wicked person on death row. All of us need Him the same. And once I recognize that, guess what? I can put my arm around that guy and say, you're loved, because I know I'm loved. I am no better than you. Maybe I've made different choices, but I am no better than you. I need Jesus just as much as you. I'm destined for hell just as much as you are if I don't put my faith in Jesus. The only way I get to heaven is by putting my faith in Jesus, who is my righteousness. He's the one who gets me there. Because of the law of the Spirit, who gives life and sets me free. Go on to verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that righteousness, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's a change that happens. Even though that God put His law in our hearts, He put it in black and white. Let's just think about God's law. Think of the Ten Commandments. Don't lie. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't covet. Even though God wrote it in black and white, don't do these things, we've done them. Murder means not just killing somebody, but killing their reputation by speaking poorly of them. Those things that we've all been guilty of. On one hand, we got a team member, God's law, who was stellar, perfectly reflecting God's righteousness. Who is the other team member? Us. Did you ever get teamed with somebody who was really lousy? You know, maybe you team up a basketball, or maybe it's a school project, and you're like, oh, shoot, there goes my grade. Can you imagine? You know, God's point really was helping us realize that although His law was perfect, when we team up, it's an unwinnable game. That team is terrible. So God said, I'm going to send my Son Jesus in human form, in flesh. And talk about not that Jesus was sinful, but in sinful flesh, in humankind. Hebrews talks about Jesus knows what we go through because He was tempted on every way that we were tempted. He knows what this body's like. Hunger, pain, comfort, loneliness. He knows the pain of it. But yet without sin, there's a new team in town. Team Jesus. The law of the Spirit. No longer dependent on me and my ability. Woo! I am so glad that it's not dependent on me. I am so glad that it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on what Jesus did. He's the one who accomplishes the win. No longer dependent on me. In Christ, we have the victory. Old song like that. Christ is the victory. Jesus fulfilled the law in two ways. First, he fulfilled the law by taking the punishment on us, by bearing our punishment. When you break the law, there's a punishment for it. There's a consequence of it. You know, it's hard to understand because how many of you guys have sped here before? It's like, I'm not admitting to that. How many of you speed in your car? One time, a long time ago. Do you get a ticket every time? The reality is that we have a hard time understanding there is a punishment. There is a consequence of that. But we know that when a law is broken, we know that something should happen. That's why we get so offended when somebody gets off or away with something that's wrong. Because we know something should happen. And what God requires in His perfect righteousness, it requires a punishment for that broken law. What Jesus did, He fulfilled the law by taking that punishment. You see what I'm saying? A law's been broken. Somebody has to pay the cost. We don't. Jesus did. So He fulfilled the law. It's been accomplished, the punishment. The second way Jesus fulfills God's law is by obeying the law. He obeyed it on every point. He perfectly worshiped God. You look at His answers, right? Everything He did was amazing. How He answered Satan in his temptation. He showed that He perfectly knew God's will. He knew God's heart. He stood up to every temptation that Satan could throw at Him. So when you put your faith in Jesus, not only is your punishment taken care of, but you meet God's requirement for righteousness. What a great place to be. It's like, not only is my punishment, I don't have to be punished, but it's funny how when we have, I always laugh when people wear their colors. What, we got the Oregon Ducks. Woo, go Ducks. We got the Oregon State Beavers. Go Beavs. And when they win, you would think that you guys were out there playing the game. I'm like, really? It's like, didn't we do good this weekend? It's like, what do you mean, we? It's like, you know, it's like, I mean, they own it. It's like, you know, it's like, that's the way it is. When Jesus did that win, we won. When Jesus lived that life, we won. Go, Jesus. We win. When we put our faith in Jesus, we step out of the realm of the flesh into the realm of the spiritual, into the realm of God's Spirit. Because the moment you and I put our faith in Jesus Christ, God takes His Spirit and plants it in our soul. What was dead becomes alive. And that's hard to imagine. It is mythical. It is hard to imagine. Why? Because we're physical. We see things. We're very aware there's a spiritual side. But we have to walk in a faith and understanding of that. God's Spirit is deposited in us. And we have to leave that realm of the flesh living, what Paul says, according to the flesh. We step into a new spiritual realm of living according to the Spirit. Let's go on. Verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God, to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Hebrews says another way, says, the only way that we can please God is by faith. Why? Because faith is spiritual. God is spirit. The only way we can please God is walking out the spiritual, not the unspiritual, not the physical. Two regimes, two standards of living, two guiding principles, two ways to live. The first one is according to the flesh. Living by your sin nature. Living a life that's consistent and lined up with what our sin nature wants. Living to satisfy its desires. Submitted to sin, submitted to what is dead. Now, most of us wouldn't ever talk like that. We're like, hey, I'm going to go do something that's dead and worthless. Right? We don't talk like that. And the world doesn't see it that way. Because this understanding is moving from the realm of the flesh, what you see, what this world has, what is temporary, to what is eternal, to what is spiritual, what you can't see. Two regimes. We're either, when we pursue this world, we choose, like 1 John 1 talks about satisfaction, satisfying our flesh. You know, pleasures, possessions, and ego. That pretty much covers it. What you do to feel good, you know, whether you eat or whether you work out, or whether you go on vacations, or where you watch TV. All those things, or what you buy at the store, the sales that you can't turn away from, those pleasures, because you're looking for something to feed your flesh, how you feel. Possessions, having things. And then the pride, just our ego, what we do, those things that we choose to feel, really is kind of defined what the sin nature is looking to satisfy, looking to the world to satisfy these things. Or we can live according to the Spirit, God's Spirit in us. Living a life that's consistent with His Spirit, aligned with, directed by, submitted to what God's Spirit wants, His purposes, His desires. When you think about what you think about, impacts what you do and what you see. When you and I get hungry, or your stomach starts to growl, you start to think, what's in the fridge, right? And you go, oh man, I forgot to go to the store. I got to go swing by and get something at the store. And by the way, you know that shopping when you're hungry is like the most terrible time to shop. That's when like you mess up the whole food budget. Or you buy stuff that you shouldn't eat or too much. But those things, it starts to drive us. We start to think about. We start to align our lives. We're like, okay, what are we having? What am I going to cook tonight? I got to make sure I have that. You know, as you get hungry and you think about what you're eating, it's on your mind. It's what you're in the mood for. Maybe what you're going to go out to eat that night for. Maybe you're going to make a plan for that week. Oh, we got to go try this, you know, Oregon barbecue, whatever, down there. We got to go to the Mexican restaurant. If you're interested in dating, you'll notice every guy and girl that walks through the door. You will see things before anybody else sees them. I said if you're dating, not if you're married. Those things, what you're looking for, who you're talking to, what you're pursuing, reflects what you've set your mind on. A mind governed by the flesh is death. There's not only a bad ending to the movie. The whole movie's bad. You ever watch a movie thinking it's going to get better? It doesn't. Turn it off. Walk away. It doesn't get better. It ends in death, dissatisfaction, disappointment, hopelessness, regrets, consequences. A mind that's ruled by our flesh, our fallen human nature, Paul says, is not only bad, ends in death, it's hostile towards God. It's hostile, angry. rebellious against God. Because there's two different orders, kingdoms. There's two different rulers. There's two different nations. There's two different ideological. If you're living in one, you're going to be angry and fight against the other. If you're living for God, you're going to be angry and hostile towards anything in the world. You're going to be hostile when you're like you want to do or say something that you don't want to do. You're going to be mad about that. It's like, oh, I do not want to submit to that. I do not want to go along with that. And the reverse is true. When we are submitted to the flesh, we're hostile towards God. A life living according to the flesh cannot please God. 1 John 2 says that do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. That is crazy. The reason why, it's kind of an aside, but we're looking at how Jesus fulfilled the law. It's also called the law of love. Jesus, when he loved the world, right? God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. The reflection of the law is really a love for God and a love for people. It's on our sign out front. That defines what the kingdom is about. What all the laws do. The first ones are about how to love God. The second one is how to love people. The second six commands are about how to love people. When you are governed by the Spirit, though, whatever you say, whatever you think about, how you live is life and peace. It doesn't say leads to life and peace. When we are governed by the Spirit, it is life and peace. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is. When we are guided by the Spirit, another name for the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. The same Spirit that lived in Jesus, when we accept God as Jesus as our Savior, God plants the same Spirit that was in Jesus in us. You really aren't living unless you're ruled by the Spirit. It's just like you've heard the statement that Jesus was a real man, a real human, not covered up by manipulation or fear or sin. You aren't really living until you are ruled and governed by the Spirit. It's exciting. It's meaningful. It's impacting. Your thoughts will be calm and confident and clear-headed. Living according to the Spirit is proactive. Living according to the Spirit is war. It is a battle. That's the battle that Paul talks about. Living according to the Spirit is contrary to the world. It's rebellion against our culture, rebellion against the pressures. I talk about that living according to the Spirit being a battle. We demolish arguments. Demolish, is that like just like a, we do time out in the corner? Does that sound like that kind? No. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It is a war. There's things that we do to walk out the kingdom. There's things we need to do. And the second passage is, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Talking about those pressures of culture, of friends, of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will, His good and pleasing and perfect will. And the reality is that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. That's that realm, moving from the realm of the flesh to the realm of the Spirit. Being ruled by the flesh or being ruled by the Spirit. This last week, Wednesday was Laundry Love Day, and so I don't get the full time of doing my sermon prep, and I have to pick it up on some other days. And so I worked in the morning, and got started on my sermon and study, and then went and did laundry love in the afternoon. And then Wednesday night we had our men's group, and then Thursday morning it just kind of goes tick, 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 and your week's gone. And Friday morning, I've got to get this done, right? Because I do not like working on my sermon on Saturday, if I can help it. And just because it helps me just have time to think about it and pray about it, as well as just do things around the house and have fun with my wife and a day of rest. I'm in my office, and I see a shadow go by the back window. I'm like, oh, somebody's, you know, just walking by, or somebody's coming around the front. I listen, nobody comes in the front door, and I see the shadow go back the other way. And I go, oh, I wonder who that is. My flesh says, don't go look, because you've got to get your sermon done. The spirit says, you need to go check this out. So I get up, I go and look through the kitchen window, kind of back here, you know, in the kitchen, so if they look, they can't see me. So I'm looking, oh, I said, I'm thinking it's this person that I know come and uses our water. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, I don't want to get in a conversation. I got to get this done. And if I start a conversation, I'm going to have to, like, that's going to put my attention and time to that. And I go sit back down on my desk. And so then I'm writing my sermon about being in the realm of the spirit or the realm of the flesh. And let's just say I'm not a total idiot. I am an idiot. But every once in a while I'm like, hello? You know, God's talking to you. And so I'm like, oh, come on. And like, you know what? I hear the Holy Spirit say, you know, there's conversations you have too. It's like, do you think I'm big enough to help you get your sermon done?
Yeah.
Remember I talk about those songs we sing? God is good. He's in control. And now we live life. I'm like, okay, yes, God, you're big enough. You'll help me do. And I'm like, yeah, what'll take me an hour to 3 hours, you'll like do in 30 minutes, you know? And I'm like, okay, God, I trust you. And so I get up and I see this person and I open the door, and it's not who I thought it was. It's a young man out there with sunglasses. He said he jumps because he wasn't expecting anybody to come out the back door. And I said, hey, how's it going? He said, yeah, I just getting a drink of water. I'm just, you know, I'm dehydrated. And he says, you know your hose is frozen? I said, yeah, I know it's frozen. And you could tell it was off, unscrewed. And he was just drinking out of the faucet. And hey, I said, we got a bottle of water inside. So I get inside, get him on a bottle of water, and he brought it and gave it to him. He said, oh, thanks. I said, what's going on? You know, he says, actually, by then he'd taken off his sunglasses and he's got a black eye and he's kind of beat up. And I said, oh, so it looks like, you know, what happens? You get in a fight. And so they unwraps a story to me. And inside, I'm thinking, Lord, here's a prayer I pray that, actually, two prayers I prayed that morning. One is one I pray almost every day, which is, God, would you give me opportunities to bring your kingdom to the people I meet. Would you help me? Would you not only bring opportunities, would you help me? Actually, I say, will you help me see opportunities to bring your kingdom to the people I meet? And so, as I'm talking to him, I was like, oh, shoot, I prayed that prayer. This is exactly what God is talking about. And not only that, I'm like a lot of you here, reading through the book, Drawing a Circle. It's a devotional in the book by Mark Batterson. And he wrote a book, and I'm reading the book too, but this devotional is excellent, and it's just overwhelming. And I've got to one of the days towards the end. It talks about I'm praying, and how he started getting on his knees, not because it's more spiritual, but just to change a posture. And so I started this week, then getting on my knees. I got, you know, a comfy chair, and I'm like looking out my window, and I'm loving my quiet time. So I just flipped that baby around and got on my knees. And I'm praying, saying, God, would you grow our church? Would you, I'd love to see a person every month come to confess you as Jesus. God, would you change people so that they become influencers, kind of like what we prayed for Cheryl. I'm praying for a men's study. God, would you impact these guys that they would understand your love and be freed of the addictions, you know, that we all get trapped in? God, would you change me? Would you grow, help me have big prayers? Not little prayers like, God, help me sleep good. That's a good prayer too. But little prayers like, God, you know, thank you for this day. Thank you for my kids. But big prayers like, change me, God. Would you see people come to know you? Would you? So anyways, my point is, I didn't do it at home. And so I had just finished a half an hour before in my office, got on my knees and just prayed that. And then this happens. And honestly, I did not see the connection at first. That sounds silly, but it's how it happens. Is that I didn't see the flesh and the spirit taking place until I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I sat back down and started to write my sermon about the spirit and the flesh. And going, oh, this is exactly what I'm talking about, Lord. He said, yep, it is. And so I invite him in, and we had some leftover coffee cake. It was really good, so I gave him a piece of that. It was already cut on a plate, and he just scarfs it. I said, are you hungry? And he said, yeah. And I said, why don't you have this? And he just wolfs it down. And we have some from our journaling with the guys on Friday morning. I have some egg sandwiches in the freezer, so I made him one of those, and he scarfs that down. He says, that is so good. Can I have some more? But in the middle of all this, we're having a conversation, hearing his story, and talking about what he wants to do. I start asking, what are you hoping for? What do you want to do? What's getting in the way of that? And so I know that what I walked out was the realm of the Spirit. I have no idea where that was going. But I said, when you're ready, because he's got addiction issues. I knew that. He still was flying high. So he was kind of making sense, but not so much. He couldn't track. But I knew, invited him, and prayed for him. And interesting, this morning as I came in to church, where I know he had been last night, Jackie heard him. We were here in the evening, heard him get a drink, and he was gone. We went out, but he, when we got here this morning, there were needles and a beer bottle. And I'm pretty sure that was probably my friend. But I walking by the Spirit happens all around us. Walking by the flesh says, I don't want to go there. I don't have time for that. And you can't argue with that. I mean, really, you could say, you're right, man. You better get your sermon done. If you want to, guess what? I ended up working on it on Saturday morning. Walking by the Spirit is going to cost my flesh. I don't want that to be like that every week. But that's the way it was, because I trust God to get me through. Let's just finish up the verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even your body is subject to death because of sin. The Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. I walked that out. Even though my flesh says, you don't have time for this. You don't want to do that. That takes emotional, cognitive attention. And I say, God, I know your word says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I know that I walk in the Spirit. God's going to give me what I need. God's going to give me what I need. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, His Spirit is living in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, raising dead bones to life, making you aware of things that you never even thought of before. He is empowering you to truly live, even though you have a body that still wants to do otherwise. And Paul ends with this verse, in verse 12 and 13. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Today's the day of salvation. Who will you allow to govern your thoughts? The flesh and the temporary, or the Spirit and the eternal? Today is the day of salvation. As I close with Joshua 24, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestor serving beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites, who in whose land you are living. And I know that seems disconnected to Old Testament, but you can think about our culture. Which gods are you going to serve? The gods of this world, of what says important, or not? But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, I'm going to live in the realm of the Spirit. That's where life is. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for your Spirit, Lord. The law of the Spirit, as I obey you, Lord, as I trust in you, Jesus. Lord, you're the one who is my righteousness. You're the one who took my punishment. I don't have to punish myself. I can just walk in the freedom, and that's so hard to receive sometimes because we don't feel worthwhile. Lord, we are worthwhile. That's why you died for us. We can receive your gift with thanksgiving, not because we're worthy, but with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that we get to walk out in the realm of the Spirit. Lord, that we get to walk in confidence of what you're doing. And as we do it, life is lived out. Not only is life lived out, but life is brought to everything we say, everything we do. Even when we don't see it, like that song says, not by what I'm feeling, not but what I see, but by your promises. Lord, we trust in that. Lord, I just give you an opportunity this morning. If there's anybody here who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, and you're ready to step into the realm of the Spirit where there is life and peace, just raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you, but it's a decision to say, I choose this. Today's the day of salvation. Anybody here who wants to raise their hand and receive the Lord? Just give that opportunity. I want to do that regularly because I know that I want you to know that you can do that with your friends. You can do this too. With your friends, you have conversations, invite them into relationship with God. And also to know that we want to be a church that gives people an opportunity and as an inviting church into relationship with the Lord. Lord, I pray that we would be believers who are governed by your Spirit. Lord, I just pray for anybody here as we were condemned, but there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, as we recognize and go, oh my goodness, I've been walking by the flesh, that there's no condemnation. Just recognizing that, Lord, we get to take it to you and say, God, I want to walk by the Spirit. Lord, what I say, that I don't have to self-protect. Lord, you protect me. Lord, you protect my time. You protect my heart. You protect me, Lord, my soul. Lord, and I know that as we walk out the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit, Lord, lives are impacted. Lord, I thank you for our family here that has been such an encouragement to me as they've walked out the Spirit. I pray that I would be an encouragement to others. In Jesus' name, amen.